This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ويقول الإنسان أإذا ما مت لسوف أخرج حيا أولا يذكر الإنسان أنا خلقناه من قبل ولم يك شيئا فوربك لنحشرنهم والشياطين ثم لنحضرنهم حول جهنم جثيا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ولا هم بعد. We are continuing our lessons on the Day of Judgment, and I had finished in my last lesson with the hadith of the three different types of scrolls, if you like, that we have to respond to. And I wanted to move on. We still haven't finished the issue of the scrolls. And there are a number of other traditions that mention the issue of the scrolls, or the issue of all of our good deeds having been written down. And in a particular narration, our Prophet ﷺ, in a number of narrations, he recommended that we do certain things so that we find them in our scrolls. And so it shows us that there are things that we should be doing with the intention of making sure that we find them in the scrolls on the Day of Judgment. Of them is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Busr reported in Ibn Majah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, طُوبَى لِمَنْ وَجَدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ اسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا. That how fortunate, or good news, or maybe even Jannah itself. طُوبَى has all of these words, but the primary meaning, how fortunate is the one who finds in his scrolls a lot of istighfar. So notice this hadith here. He's asking us to remember, we're going to meet all of our deeds with the scrolls. We're going to see our scrolls on the Day of Judgment. So he's reminding us, طُوبَى, that how good news is it for the one who finds a lot of istighfar in his scrolls on the Day of Judgment. And in the hadith narrated in Muslim, Imam Ahmad, that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu passed by Talhat ibn Zubayr. The both of them are famous Sahaba. The both of them are from the 10 promised Jannah. And he found him to be very worried, very grieved. So he said, what is the matter with you? Has something irritated you that's going on? What is going on? Why are you so grieved? And Talha said that, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say that I know one kalima, one phrase, that if a person were to say it when he were to die, he would find his sahifa to be full of light. He would find the light coming from his sahifa. Then he said, but I don't know that word. I don't know that kalima. What is that kalima that our Prophet ﷺ is saying? Whoever says that kalima at the time of his death, his sahifa will be a sahifa of light, or there will be light coming from his sahifa. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, I will tell you this kalima. It is the same kalima that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted his uncle to say, shahadatan la ilaha illallah. When Umar ibn al-Khattab told him this, all of the grief left Talha. And he became very happy that he heard this knowledge from Umar ibn al-Khattab, that the kalima, whoever says it at the time of death, that his sahifa, or his scroll of good deeds, will be a good deeds of light. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my last kalima in this world ever be La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And you as well make that dua, that this is our last kalima, because we want to have that kalima. And of course, we also know that the kalima of La ilaha illallah will be sometimes even on a separate scroll. It's going to be so powerful, so weighty. And we know this from the hadith reported also in the Sunan books, that on the Day of Judgment, a man will come and he will have 99 scrolls of evil deeds, as far as the eye can see each one of them. And those scrolls will be put on one side of the scale. And Allah will say, do you have any good deeds? And the man will think, and he will not be able to think of any good deed. Then a small parchment, a bitaqa. Bitaqa is a parchment. A bitaqa is a card, is going to be brought out. And Allah will say, actually, you do have a good deed. And on this card will be the kalima of La ilaha illallah. And the man will say, "Oh Allah, of what use is this card against the 99 scrolls? This is a business size card, a bitaqa. It's a small little thing. And you have 99 scrolls on the other side." And Allah will say, "On this day, no dhulm will be shown, and even the smallest and the greatest of deeds will be made hisab of." So that card will be placed on one side of the scale. And of course, his iman will be heavier than all of that. So he shall be forgiven. And of course, our scholars mentioned that this is an exceptional scenario. Generally speaking, good deeds also have to come, as we mentioned in other lectures. The point being, the point I wanted to mention here, that all of his good deeds are coming in a card, bitaqa, because that's all he has. And the evil deeds are coming in scrolls. So this also shows us that the scrolls will be of different sizes, depending on the quantity and the quality of deeds. So this is the issue of the scrolls. And this is called the suhuf, as we had mentioned. Now we move on to the next issue, and that is the issue of hisab, or accounting. And I've referenced this in last lecture and also two lectures ago, and we've talked about it a few times. And once again, this issue of all of these different aspects, we're not talking about them one after the other. As I'm going to mention in a while, actually the hisab and the scrolls, they go hand in hand. But there are many ahadith and ayat about the hisab, and there are many ahadith and ayat about the scrolls. So we're doing them bit by bit, even though chronologically it does appear, as I will mention, that the hisab and the scrolls are going hand in hand. Now, what is the hisab? Hisab in Arabic means to count. And that's why mathematics is called ilm al-hisab, or the branch of mathematics is literally called hisab. And computer, one of the names of computer or calculator is hasub. So it's an issue of calculating. And the accountant is the muhasib. So the issue of hisab means you're going to essentially account for or count each and everything. And the concept of hisab is self-evident, which is that every single deed of mankind, good or bad, is going to be accounted for line by line, bit by bit. This is the hisab. And there are categories of people who will have a difficult hisab. There are categories who will have an easy hisab. There are literally dozens of verses about the concept of hisab, and I urge you all to find them in the Quran, and next time you read the Quran cover to cover, extract them. We cannot go over all of them. There are that many in quantity. But I'll just mention some of them. That, for example, in Surah Ghafir, verse 17. Allah mentions, الْيَوْمَ تُجِزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Today, everybody will get what they did. No injustice will be done today. And Allah is quick in reckoning. So Allah is sari'ul hisab. Allah will reckon every single person for all they have done. And Allah will do it in the twinkling of an eye. Allah is sari'ul hisab. Also, the Quran tells us that the people who rejected Allah, la yarjuna hisaba, they weren't expecting the hisab to take place. They didn't want the hisab to happen. And we learn that Allah Azza wa Jal will directly take charge of the hisab, that no angel, no intermediary, Allah Himself will do the hisab of each and every person. Imagine this, dear Muslims. Every single one of us will have to stand in front of Allah individually. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to us and make hisab of our lives and our deeds line by line. There will be no one between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminded in the Quran that you are not the one who's going to make their hisab, right? وَمَا عَلَيْكُنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It's not your job to do their hisab, Allah says in the Quran. In fact, He is told in the Quran in multiple verses, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابِ. Your job is to convey, and it is our job to do the hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's my job and our job to do the hisab, not yours, ya Rasulullah. And there are many ahadith as well that mention the concept of hisab and the fact that we have to face the hisab on the Day of Judgment. Of them is the famous hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, narrated by Mahmud ibn Labid, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two are the things that the son of Adam does not like. And those two things are, number one, death, and number two, to not have a lot of money. Right, two things the son of Adam does not like: to die
and to not have a lot of money. Then our Prophet ﷺ mentions two things that are positive about these two things. He said, وَالْمَوْتُ خَيْرٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ. And dying is better for the believer than being subjugated to tests and trials. And subhanAllah, how true this is, dear Muslims. Those that are suffering from calamities, from civil wars, those that are suffering from issues, even the irritation that we are all suffering from now. SubhanAllah, there are those that lived good lives, long lives, and they moved on, and they didn't have to see this. And is there not some mercy for them as well? Even though we should not look at it that, as I explained in many lectures I've given, that this is not a specific adab. It is a general adab, and the goal is to save each and every one of us from the specific adab upon us. But still, to not be tested and pass is better than to be tested and then fail. So to not be tested is a blessing. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, to die is better than for the mu'min to be tested. And then he said, and the son of Adam also does not like that he is poor. And وَقِلَّةُ الْمَالِ أَقَلُّ لِلْحِسَابِ. Being poor means you have to have a smaller hisab, right? So the rich will have a longer hisab. The rich will have much more auditing to do for every single penny that they've earned and they've spent. And the poor, they will have a quicker hisab. That is why it is narrated in some versions of a hadith that يعني ربما فيه ضعف يسير, but the concept is authentic, and that is that the rich people, the poor people will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich people. There is a notion like this as well, which does seem to have an element of authenticity to it, because the rich people have to account for more, and therefore their hisab will be longer. As for the poor people, they lived a more difficult life in this dunya, but if they were righteous and pious, they will enter Jannah before, and they will therefore enjoy things in the next life that they did not enjoy in this life. So this is what a hisab is. It is a detailed auditing of all of our records. And the hisab will be done for every single person in every single ummah, not just our ummas. And we know this from many ahadith. Of them is the hadith in Sahih Muslim that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there was a man of the nations before you that his hisab was made of on the Day of Judgment. And they didn't find anything good in his hisab, except that he was a man who would give out loans to people. And he would tell his servants that if they found somebody who couldn't pay back the loan, he would tell his servants that, you know, just don't be harsh, don't be, you know, strict in this regard, be gentle. And so when the hisab is done, Allah Azza wa Jal will say, we or I have more right to indicate or to exude this generosity and gentleness than this person, and therefore I am asking that his sins be overlooked. And subhanAllah, such a beautiful hadith, dear Muslims, that remember the whole purpose of this entire series isn't just so that we know dry facts and we can regurgitate them, rather that it translates into actions in our daily lives, that our iman increases, that we prepare for the Day of Judgment. So here we find that this person, he didn't have a lot of salah, he didn't have a lot of zakah, he didn't have a lot of good deeds that other people think are, oh, this is what piety is. But you know what? He had a kind heart and soul. And he was a rich person, and he would give money, but he needed it back. He would not give it sadaqah. But he would tell his servants, you know, if you find somebody who is in a difficult circumstance, don't be harsh, be gentle, and go back, come back at a later time. SubhanAllah, something as small as this, and he did it from a pure heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that gentleness, that overlooking, I have more right to do than he, because Allah is Ar-Rahman and Allah is Ar-Rahim. So Allah will say, I will do it for him like he did it unto others. And this shows us, dear Muslims, that the characteristics you establish for yourself, they are not going to be forgotten. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take note of them. Those that are gentle, those that are merciful, those that are overlooking, those that are forgiving, they can expect these same characteristics to be done unto them when it is much more important that it is done unto them on the Day of Judgment. So hisab is going to be done for every single ummah. However, of the blessings of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that our ummah will be the first ummah upon which hisab is done. And that's a blessing, because we don't want to wait, you know, when the exams, when we all have done exams in our lives, and we want to get the results immediately. The delay in the result is a type of torture. So we don't want to delay in the result. We want it immediately. And the ones whose results come out the first and the fastest and the quickest, they're the ones who enjoy it the most. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nahnu akhirul umami wa awwalu man yuhasabu yawm al-qiyamah." We are the last and yet we are the first. In another version, نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. We are the last and we are the first. He explained how so. We are the last of the ummas, chronologically. There is no ummah after the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are the first who will be made hisab of. Because on the day of judgment, an announcement will be made. أَيْنَ الْأُمَّةُ الْأُمِّيَّةُ وَنَبِيُّهَا. Where is the unlettered ummah and its prophet? Where is the unlettered ummah and Nabiyul Ummi? Where is this nation and its prophet? And so we will be brought in front of all other nations. So this is the concept of hisab. The Quran and the Sunnah is full of the concept of the notion of hisab. Now, quick question before we move on. We talked about the scrolls. We talked about now the hisab. And I mentioned chronology. When will the hisab take place? Some ulama, including some great ulama like Al-Qurtubi and others, they say that the hisab will take place after the suhuf are handed to the people, right? And so their interpretation of the text is that first and foremost, there's going to be the ard, which is Allah yani looking upon the baraz, the buruz, right? Allah will examine. Then there will be the suhuf. And then after the suhuf will be the hisab. So the scroll will be handed in the right hand or in the left hand. And then after that, there was going to be a line by line hisab. And this, they base it on the verse in the Quran, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. The one who was given his book in the right hand, he shall be given an easy hisab. So it seems as if the one who's given the book, then the hisab will take place. And they also use the verse in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِي كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ وَلَمْ أَدْرِي مَا حِسَابِيَ يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ. The one who's given his book in the left hand, he will say, woe to me, I wish I was not given this book, and I don't know what my hisab is going to be. And they say that this clearly demonstrates that the hisab will take place after the suhuf are handed. And there is definitely a strong case to be made. Other groups of scholars say that in fact you are reading in too much and the verse is not implying chronology. The verse is not implying chronology, and in fact the concept of the suhuf and the concept of the hisab are simultaneous. They are not one after the other. And we don't need to interpret fasawfa here in the sense that after the scrolls are handed then the hisab will be done. Rather, Allah is speaking to us right now, and Allah is speaking in the future to us right now, that those who get their scrolls in the right hands, they would have had an easy reckoning. Not they shall then have after having had the scrolls handed to them. You see the point over here. So, and to be honest, this is also a very strong and it is also what I personally lean towards. But again, there's a strong argument to be made the other way. But there is an explicit hadith that does seem to very clearly indicate that the hisab and the suhuf are in fact simultaneous. They're taking place at the same time that the scrolls are going to be handed and the hisab is being done right then and there with the scrolls being handed to you. And then when they're handed to you, you know the results right then and there. And the person saying that I don't know my hisab, that this is him, this is the kafir basically doubting, or this is the kafir yani not realizing the severity of what is going to happen. The very fact that he has been handed the scrolls in the left, he knows his hisab, he knows he has failed. But you know, it's a matter of shame. Sometimes something happens in your exam, you're like, I don't know this and that, you kind of just fluff it over. It's a matter of embarrassment or whatnot. In any case, the point is that it doesn't need to be taken that chronologically the one is after the other. And in the end, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. It's more of a theoretical issue in terms of chronology. Now, in terms of the categories of hisab, the types of people that will or will not face hisab. Al-Qurtubi mentions that there are three categories of people. Number one, those who will not have any hisab at all, they will simply be handed the scrolls and there will be zero hisab. And that is the highest category. And it is mentioned in a number of ahadith that they will enter Jannah without hisab. Number two, the majority of the believers, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. It will be an easy hisab. So this is the majority. And then number three, there is going to be a hisab that is asir, that is a difficult hisab, and that will be, Al-Qurtubi says, that will be for the fasiq amongst the Muslims, and also for the kafir. Now this is a controversy point, we're going to come to this later on. Is there an actual hisab for the kafir or not? That this is something that scholars have differed over, we'll talk about that in a while. But Al-Qurtubi says there is. And the reason being that the other group says that the kafir is the kafir, you're not going to go over every single line when you know he's failed. It's like there is no exam he's bringing. He hasn't even believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the point of going line by line? He's simply going to be handed and then punished right then and there. We're going to get to this controversy briefly in our next lecture, inshallah ta'ala. But the point is that Qurtubi says there's three categories, and that much is definitely very explicit from the Quran. Number one, the first is not in the Quran, it is in the hadith. Number one, those that shall enter Jannah without hisab. Number two, those that have hisaban yaseera, an easy hisab. And number three, those that have a difficult hisab. This is very much confirmed. Now, also, there does appear to be a different category of hisab for a very select group of people, and that is the prophets. The prophets of Allah, they have a separate category altogether, obviously, because they are special people, because they have to account for things very different than what we have to account for. What do they have to account for? They have to account for what their ummahs have done to them. And this is also quite explicit in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 6, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We're going to ask those whom the prophets came to, and we're going to ask the prophets. So asking the prophets is separate. And also in Surah Ma'idah, verse 109, يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلَ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ. The day that Allah will gather all the prophets, and Allah will ask them, what response did you get? So this is a specific hisab, a very special category of people. Those are the prophets. They have a different set of questions than the rest of us, and that is fully understandable. And we also learn from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Oh Allah, give me an easy hisab. Give me an easy hisab. And so Aisha radiallahu anha asked about this. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this easy hisab? And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Bukhari, that man nuqisha udhib, that whoever is going to be nuqish here is to go over point by point of the hisab, man nuqish, whoever is going to be put on the interrogation, that this is going to be a type of punishment. So Aisha says that doesn't Allah say in the Quran that the believers will have a hisaban yaseera? That why is niqash an azab when Allah is saying the hisab is going to be yaseer? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this hisab an yaseera, this is the ard, this is the general examination. Then he said, man nuqisha udhib, whoever is going to be forced to defend each and every point, that in and of itself is a type of punishment. In another version of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered Aisha and said that the hisab an yaseera is that his book will be looked at, thumma yutajawaz, then it will be overlooked. However, whoever has to go over line by line, that will be the person who will be destroyed. Now, what this means, therefore, we know what the hisab an yaseera is. You know, so in some countries, the government audits, you know, your taxes, right? And so the years that it doesn't audit the taxes, right? You don't have, may Allah make us amongst those every single year. So the years that it doesn't audit the taxes, what does it do? It just overlooks it, like, okay, check, 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 move on, right? This is the hisab yaseer equivalent. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَلَى, to Allah belongs the more perfect example. And the year that they audit you, and they say, oh, what about this line and that line and that line? That entire process in and of itself is a type of punishment. And can you imagine if we worry about the annual tax return for our governments. How about our yearly life deeds, the entire lives we have to account for in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We don't want to do that every single day, every single hour, every single penny. Allahu musta'an, we don't want that. We ask Allah for an easy hisab. We definitely do not want to be asked every single thing that we have done. And we also learn as well that there's going to be an elite group of people whose hisab will be completely overlooked. And that's something that is a beautiful goal that we all strive for. And this we learn, I've already said this hadith before, but I'll mention it again because it is so beautiful. That Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet ﷺ said, I saw all of the ummahs on the Day of Judgment. And I saw a prophet that he had a small group with him. And another prophet, he had only one or even two. And I even saw a prophet who didn't have a single follower at all. Then a large gathering was shown to me. And I thought, that is my ummah. But it was said to me, no, that is Musa and his people. Then it was said to me, look at the horizon. And I saw another great gathering. And it was said that that is your ummah. And from them are 70,000 that shall enter Jannah بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ, without any hisab, without any عذاب. And the famous Sahabi Ukash ibn Mihsan, or Muhsin, both are there. He stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, أُدْعُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ, ask that Allah Azza wa Jal puts me amongst those 70,000. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ, you are going to be from them. Then another person stood up and he asked the same thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبَقَكَ بِهَا عُكَاشَ, which became an example in Arabic, which means too late, you cannot do it anymore. That's what it means. But of course, the translation is, Ukasha preceded you, and that's it now. I don't want to open this door over and over again. So this hadith, and I mentioned this in my previous series about the Barzakh, that it's not just 70,000, that we learned that there's going to be more than 70,000 in one narration, for every 1,000, another 70,000. In another narration, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just filled up both of his palms and gave them to the Prophet himself, and all of this as well will enter Jannah without hisab. So that's going to be the greatest of the believers, to enter Jannah without hisab, and that is what we want. We don't even want to even have the easy hisab. The highest level is no hisab. And then lower than this is the hisab yasira, as we said. Also, of the beautiful things that we learn, and this is extremely, extremely beautiful, that the hisab for the believers will be private and it will not be public. Whereas the hisab for those who reject Allah and for those who have done dhulm will be public and it will be humiliating. So, A'udhu Billah, we seek Allah's refuge, but imagine being brought on the Day of Judgment and everybody can hear your sins and your personal crimes. Everybody knows this person has done this and this person has done this. What a great embarrassment and humiliation that is. And that is why we ask Allah to protect us from the khizi, from the humiliation of this world and of the next world. And that's why the humiliation of the next world is the worst humiliation, as the Quran mentions, because to be humiliated on the Day of Judgment means that Allah has removed all mercy from you. We seek Allah's protection from that. And to be protected and to have no humiliation is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a beautiful hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, which is really a very touching and a very emotional hadith. And it is from Ibn Umar radiallahu an, that Ibn Umar was doing tawaf around the Kaaba when somebody came up to him and held on to his hand when he's doing tawaf. And he said, tell me the hadith that you heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the Najwa. The Najwa is the private booth, if you like. It's not a physical booth, the concept. It's the private covering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the hisab for the believers in. And the hisab will be done from between Allah and the servant, and it will be shielded from the eyes of all other people. And the word Najwa in Arabic means in secrecy or in private. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. So the word نجوى is in the Quran, that secret gatherings are not good unless it is meant for something that is good. So the نجوى means to have a secret issue or gathering. And there is something that is نجوى on the Day of Judgment, and that is going to be a secret between Allah and between the servant. And the man had heard that Ibn Umar is narrating this hadith. So he went up to him and said, "Oh, Ibn Umar, what did you hear the Prophet ﷺ say about the Najwa?" So Ibn Umar said, "I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that Allah Azza wa Jal will come close to the believer, and Allah Azza wa Jal will envelope him with his sitr, with his covering. Allah will cover him up with his covering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to the believer, 'Do you know this sin? Do you know this sin?' And the believer will say, 'Na'am ya Rabb, yes, I know this sin. Yes, I know this sin.' And he will go on admitting every single sin that he has done. And then in his heart, he will think that he is destroyed. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask him, 'Do you have any excuse for these sins?' And the man will say, 'No, my Lord, I don't have any excuse.' And Allah will say, 'Did my witnesses of the angels write everything correctly, or do you doubt that they are lying?' And he will say, 'No, my Lord, they are not lying. They wrote everything correctly.' And the man will think that he is gone because all of these sins have been mentioned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, 'Satartuha alayka fi dunya wa ana aghfiruha laka al-yawm.' That Allah Azza wa Jalla will say that I covered these sins from the eyes of others in this world, and I will forgive them for you on this day." And so we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for his sitr and for his maghfirah. And so this hadith then says, فَيُعْطَى كِتَابَ حَسَنَاتِهِ. He will then be given the hasanat, his book of hasanat, and he will take them from the right hand. Now, this hadith is so beautiful for many reasons. Of them is that it demonstrates that even the believer who will have some type of hisab, because see, this is not hisab and yasira, by the way. See, this is beautiful. It shows us there are many levels of hisab. The hisab and yasira is not this one, because this one is a lower level. The hisab and yasira is you just overlook it. You just say, khalas, go to Jannah, you're fine. That's the hisab and yasira. This person is a sinner who was also a repentant person. This person is a righteous sinner. And yes, you can be righteous in some aspects and be a sinner in another aspect. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. There are people that are sinners and they have good deeds as well. And those categories of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go over their hisab line by line, but because they had good deeds as well, and because they had piety and iman, so on the Day of Judgment, they shall be covered up by the covering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will not be humiliated in front of all of the people. Then Allah will say, "I covered up your sins in this world," because Allah is a sittir, and Allah covers the sins of His servants in this world. So Allah will say that your sins, you know them, I knew them, mankind did not know them. And they did not know them because I, from my rahmah, used to cover those sins. And I, from my mercy, conceal those sins from the eyes of others. Even your closest family and your friends, even your spouse and your parents did not know the sins because I covered them up from you in this dunya, just like I did it in this dunya. Now I will continue that covering, and I will cover them up in this world as well. And then he will be given the hisab and this the kitab. And this, by the way, clearly shows us, this hadith, it is explicit that the kitab is given after the hisab. They are the same time frame. That the concept of the kitab being given and the hisab taking place is not one after the other, it is simultaneous. And that is very explicit from this hadith, and that is why I said, and even from a logical perspective, if you think about it, it makes sense that the giving of the book and knowing if whether it's right or left, you, it means you passed right then and there, or you failed. And so the hisab is being done as the suhuf are being unscrolled and given to you. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, as for the kafir and as for the munafiq, then in front of all of mankind, it will be announced, هؤلاء الذين كذبوا على ربهم ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين. These are the people that lied against Allah. Allah's curse is upon the ظالمين. And Ibn Kathir, in his treatise on the Day of Judgment, which is in the section about the description of the Day of Judgment, he mentions a narration from Ibn Abi Dunya, one of the early scholars of hadith, that goes back to Abu Hurairah. And it's a similar narration from Ibn Umar, and it's a more detailed narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come close on the Day of Judgment, and Allah will conceal and cover His servant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then give the book to His servant, and He will say, "Read the book." And every single time he finds a good deed, his face will brighten up and he will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will fall down in sajda. And every time he comes across a bad deed, he will feel guilty and bad, and his heart will tremble and his face will darken with fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, "Do you have any excuse?" He will say, "No." Then Allah will say, "Know that I have forgiven it for you." And every single good and evil will be going after the entire list is done. And the people on the outside of this concealment will only see him fall down, and they will not hear the negative things until finally it will be announced that this person is going to Jannah. I'm summarizing for you this narration, but the concept there is that the person, once again, there is a detailed hisab taking place, and there is a slight element of punishment here. And this shows us that مَن نُوقِشَ عُذِّبْ, that whoever has to go over line by line is being punished. It does not mean that whoever is going line by line will go to Jahannam. Not at all. Rather, there are people who have done sins, but they don't deserve to go to Jahannam. Or Allah will forgive them for their good deeds. And so they will do, or they will undergo certain trials that are painful, that are torturous in their own way. And the purpose for that is so that the sins they have done are expiated, they are expunged because of those trials. And one of the trials, which is a very difficult one, is to answer to Allah directly for every single crime and issue, and to have to explain to Allah why you did it, even though in the end Allah knows you might be forgiven because of other good deeds. Now, by the way, we don't know what's going to happen, because there are going to be people, they have to go through all of the hisab, and then a'udhu billah, they will go to Jahannam after that. We do not know. But the point is, do you want to be in that category? No, you want to be either hisab and yasira, in which case you just handed the book and there's no detailed, you know, line by line, or even better than this, and that is bighayri hisab, the highest of the high. That's your goal. You do not want to be in this category of line by line, bit by bit. But our Prophet is telling us that even in that category there is hope. It's not that it's everybody who does that is automatically going to Jahannam. No, there will be people, they have evil deeds that has to be accounted for, but they also have good deeds. So Allah will go over line by line, and in that will be their punishment. And by the time they're done, their punishment is over, and Allah will say, "You're forgiven, go to Jannah." And alhamdulillah, that is great, but we'd rather not go through that and enter Jannah directly. So we also have other issues that we need to go over as well about the issue of the hisab. And we have two sets of narrations that tell us especially two of the most important things that will be asked about on the Day of Judgment. In a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first matter that will be dealt with between the people, awwalu ma yuhasab, the first issue of hisab, will be with regards to blood, dima. What is blood? What is dima? The meaning here is, if a person murdered another person, a'udhu billah. So murderers are the first category of people that will have to answer to Allah. And if this is the case of somebody who does one murder, what do you think of those tyrants and those kings who think that they are so mighty, those dictators that are destroying hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of their own or other people? What do you think of empires that are destroying innocent people? Will not their adab come back on them in this world before the akhirah? If one murder will be brought forth in front of Allah, and that is going to be the first hisab, what do you think of the one who has killed a million or more than this? What do you think of the one who has tortured innocent scholars and thrown them into jail? What do you think of the one who has killed an innocent Muslim for no reason other than he wants to defend his his honor or his land or his property, and evil tyrants want to take it from him. These people have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed Allah is sari'ul hisab, and we leave their affair to Allah. But these people need to repent to Allah before it is too late. And all of us, if we have any dhulm that we have done to other people, and especially the worst dhulm, which is the dhulm of shedding the lives, of taking the lives of innocent people, the first matter to be dealt with on the Day of Judgment, the hisab, will be about blood between people. And in another version, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة." The first matter that a person will be asked about on the Day of Judgment, on the hisab, is his salah. So if his salah is in order, the rest of the hisab will be easy and he shall be saved. And if the salah was not in order, then the rest will be destroyed and lost. Now, is there a contradiction, by the way, that in one hadith the Prophet ﷺ is saying the first hisab is blood, in another hadith the first hisab is salah? No, because in the one he's talking about the first hisab that has to do with people between people, and in the other he's talking about the first hisab between Allah and mankind for their affairs between each other. Because there's the hisab between you and Allah, and then there's the hisab that you have to account for what you've done to other people. Also, by the way, in the second hadith, we learn one of the strongest mechanisms to guarantee that we have a hisab in yasira. One of the strongest mechanisms. Are you paying attention to this? The hadith is explicit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة." The first matter that will be checked with on the hisab of the Day of Judgment will be the salah. Listen now, if the salah is in order, the rest of it all will be in order. Allah will overlook it. And if the salah is not in order, then the rest of it will also not be in order. So if we protect the salah, if we guarantee we have the five salawat done with their arkan, with their wudu, with their khushu', if we are regular in our iqamat as-salah, then insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be from those who are in the hisab and yasira category. As long as we don't have zulm to other people, because that's a separate category altogether. As long as we don't have other people's zulm, if it's just between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can be hopeful, even as we're scared of our punishment, we can be hopeful that insha'Allah we'll be in the hisab and yasira category. However, if our salah was not in order, then it is going to be a problem and the rest of our hisab will not be in order as well. We also have other details about what we're going to be asked about in the hisab. And of the details that Allah will ask us about in the hisab is our life and our good deeds. So for example, in Surah Al-Hijr, Allah says in the Quran, فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah gives a qasam that we will ask every one of them about what deeds they used to do. So a part of the hisab, what we're going to be asked about is our deeds. We're going to be asked about our actions. Also, we're going to be asked about our blessings. Allah will ask us about our blessings. Now again, dear brothers and sisters, realize there's different categories of hisab. One group, no hisab. A second group, casual hisab, just overlooked. And we're talking about the third category. Those that are going to go line by line, they will be asked about every deed. And they will be asked about every single blessing as well. And there is that beautiful hadith in Sahih Muslim and other books where it's a long version, multiple hadith give different versions, more details. And essentially one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar were all hungry because they had nothing to eat. And they were all sitting outside at the time of the early meal, the lunch that they called it, and they had nothing to eat until finally one of the Sahaba, he saw this and he goes, "I cannot bear this, they have to come to my house." So he slaughtered an animal, he fed them the animal, and they then ate from this animal and they thanked Allah. And then our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I swear by the one in whose life is my hands is in whose hands is my life, that لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You will be asked about this blessing on the day of judgment. You left your houses hungry, and then you only came back after your stomachs were full with this blessing. So the phrase here, you will be asked about these blessings. لَتُسْأَلُنَّ on the day of judgment about these blessings. And therefore, this concept of being asked about our blessings is something that is very clear, that we will be asked, Allah gave you this blessing, what did you do with it? And on the in the Quran as well, Surah Takathur, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you will be asked about your blessings. And Surah Al-Isra, verse 36, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Verily, your hearing and your seeing and your chest, meaning your intelligence and your awareness, all of this you will be asked about. Allah will ask you, did I not give you faculties of intellect, of hearing, of seeing? These are going to be asked about. And in the hadith of Abu Barz al-Aslami, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the 2 feet of the son of Adam will not move on the day of judgment until he is asked the famous 5 questions. Number 1, about his life and what did he do with his life. Number 2, about his knowledge and how much he acted upon that knowledge. Number 3, about his money, where did he earn it from. Number 4, where did he spend it on. And number 5, his health and his body, what did he spend or what did he do with his health and his body that we gave him. These are the famous 5 questions that we all need to memorize. And can you imagine if you entered a classroom at the beginning of the semester and the first thing that the professor did, he handed out the final exam. He said, these are the questions. If you know your questions, you're going to pass. Can you imagine any student is going to fail the exam? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has handed us the questions. We know the questions. Number 1, your life, what did you do with it? Number 2, your knowledge and how much you acted upon it. Number 3, your money, where did you earn it from and where did you spend it on? Number 4, and number 5, your health and your body and what did you do with it? These are the 5 main questions that Allah will ask us about. And in the hadith of Tirmidhi as well, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first blessing that Allah will ask a person was his health. And Allah will say, أَلَمْ نُصَحِّ لَكَ جِسْمَكَ وَنَرْوِيكَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ الْبَارِدِ. Didn't we give you a healthy body? And didn't we give you cold water to drink? We gave you all that you needed. What did you do with your life on this earth? And so this is a very explicit narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us for every single blessing. And there's a longer hadith in Sahih Muslim that we don't have time to go into all of it. But Abu Hurairah narrates in a very briefly, I'll just go over it, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will meet a person on the day of judgment and Allah will say that, oh, so-and-so, wasn't I generous to you? And didn't I give you wealth? Didn't I give you money? Didn't I give you children? Didn't I give you horses and this and that? And I left you to, you know, basically grow fat and healthy, basically, is an expression. I left you to enjoy all of this. So the man will say, yes, you did, O Allah. Then Allah will say, did you ever think that you would meet me? The man will say, no. So Allah will say, just like you neglected you, I too will neglect you now. By the way, this is a very clear hadith that the person who didn't care about Allah, the person who didn't care about the next life, the person who, even if he lived a quote-unquote good life in this world, even if he tried to do some good deeds in this world, but he didn't think about a higher cause, he didn't think about a hereafter, that this person is in a state of heedlessness, that just like they neglected a higher cause and a higher purpose, so too Allah will neglect them on the day of judgment. Then another person will come and the same questions will be given, and the man will say that, oh my Lord, I believed in you, and I worshipped you, and I believed in your prophet, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I gave charity, and I did as much good as I could. So the other person will then be testified on his behalf. The good deeds are going to come. And he shall enter Jannah. So the point being, both of these people will be asked by Allah, didn't I give you this? Didn't I give you this? Didn't I give you this? This is all a part of the hisab. We also learn, as I mentioned before, that some categories of people will be given the hisab before other categories of people. Not all the hisab will take place at the same time. Some categories of people will be judged before other categories. And perhaps the most famous hadith in this regard is the hadith in Sahih Muslim, which is really a hadith that should terrify all of us, because it implies that those who do things insincerely will be punished before others. It is the famous hadith of Abu Hurairah that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he asked Abu Hurairah, do you know the first three people whose hisab will be done on the Day of Judgment? Abu Hurairah said, I don't know, Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet ﷺ said that the mujahid, the warrior, will come in the first person, the warrior, the mujahid, who was slain and martyred in the way of Allah. And Allah will say to him that, didn't I give you all of this, this, this? And the man will say, yes. Allah will say, what did you do with that? And the man will stand up with pride and say, oh Allah, I fought and I fought with courage and bravery and I fought until I was killed in your way as a shaheed. And so Allah will say, you lie. You did not fight for me. You fought for your own ego. You fought so that people could praise you, that he is courageous. He is a warrior, so your reward will be with them. That's what they said. And then the Qari of the Quran, or the scholar, will be brought. We seek Allah's refuge from being in that category. And Allah will say, didn't I give this and this to you? And the Qari and the Alim will say, yes. Then Allah will say, what did you do with that? And they will say that we recited the Quran, or we taught, and we did. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, you lie. You did not teach the Quran, or you did not teach the people for my sake. You taught so that people can call you a qari, so that people can call you an alim. And that is what they said. So get your reward from them. And then the third person will be a person who was generous with his money, always feeding the poor and helping the sick. And Allah will ask him, did I not give you this and this? He will say, yes. Allah will say, what did you do? The man will say, oh Allah, I was generous my whole life and I gave and I gave. And Allah will say, you lie. You weren't generous for my sake. You were generous so that your reputation could be established. People could call you, oh mashallah, he's so generous. So now go get your reward from them. So then Abu Hurairah, the Prophet said, Abu Hurairah tapped him on the knee. And he said, Ya Aba Hur, O Abu Hurairah, these are the first three people that hisab will be made against on the Day of Judgment. So hisab will be done in different categories. And for some people, the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, an early hisab is a blessing. And for other people, an early hisab is a punishment. It all depends on the what is going on in that case. And of course, the issue of the hisab and the issue of the testimonies of the hisab, I already mentioned this in a previous lecture, but I need to mention this right now before we conclude. And that is the issue of evidence, testimony, that there will be testimonies, there will be witnesses, that just like in any court case, in any trial, there will be testimonies. Shaheed or shahid, excuse me, are going to come. So you have exhibit A, you have witness number one. This is exhibit and witness. There are going to be exhibits and there are going to be witnesses in each person's trial. And these will be the actual deeds or the effects of the deeds. They will be brought forth. And witnesses will be your own body, will be a witness. This is something that is, again, we mentioned it earlier in a previous lesson, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ, that on that day, their tongues and their hands and their feet, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, we're going to seal their mouths and their hands and their feet are going to testify against them. And Allah says in Surah Fussilat that their skins testified against them. And when they're able to speak, they're going to say, why did you testify against us? And the skins will reply back that the one who caused you to speak also caused us to speak as well. And the hadith also in Sahih Muslim, that the man will say that, oh Allah, I don't accept the testimony of this angel. I don't accept it. Reject the book. So Allah will say, Are you fine if I bring a witness? And the man will say, yes, as long as I agree to the witness. So Allah will say, fine. And the man in his heart will think, I'm not going to accept any witness. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to make him a witness against his own self. How can he then refute that? His tongue, his body, his hands, his legs will speak. So this is very clear that testimonies will happen. As well, the Qur'an will be an exhibit. Al-Qur'anu hujjatu laka aw alayk. Al-Qur'anu shahidu laka aw alayk. The Qur'an will be an exhibit, and the Qur'an will be testifying for or against every single person. As well, according to some interpretations, the earth and the land will itself testify. And some have interpreted this from the Qur'an, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتْ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, that on that day, the earth is going to be shaking and whatnot. يَوْمَدٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, it's going to mention تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. It will mention its news. What is its news? فَمَنْ كَانَ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ ثِقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْمَلْ ثِقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom's weight of good and whoever does an atom's weight of evil. So what is the khabar of the earth? It will be the deeds that have been done on its surface. So, and also we learn in the hadith that the mu'adhin, everything that hears the adhan will testify. That's an exhibit. Also the one who's saying labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, that every rock and every tree that hears his labbaik will testify for him. So we learn from this that in this hisab, there will be exhibits and there will be witnesses. And as for the exhibits, they will be either the Quran itself or things that have seen and done. And as for the witnesses, some people's own bodies will testify against them. And all of this will be with the hisab taking place before the suhuf is going to be handed. And so we now come to the conclusion of this lecture for today. So we're done now with the ard, the buruz, the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the speaking of Allah on the Day of Judgment, and the hisab, and also the suhuf. All of this has been done, and inshallah we'll then continue in our next lesson, which is going to be our final lesson before the month of Ramadan. We're going to take a break for the month of Ramadan. We haven't finished yet the detailed series, and that lesson will be about the hawd and the mizan, inshallah ta'ala. But I want to conclude by reminding myself and all of you of this beautiful hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would regularly make after the salawat, and that is, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. This should be our regular du'as as well, that we make this as frequently as we can, because we want to have an easy hisab. And what is the easy hisab? We are handed the book in the right hands, and we are not asked to open it and defend every single line. That is our goal. And the number one mechanism to get that goal is to establish the prayer, and to pray on time, and to pray properly with the arkan, and with all of the wajibat, and with khushu'. If we're able to do that, and we're able to save our tongues and our hands from harming other people, insha'Allah ta'ala, insha'Allah, we will be from those whose hisab will be yaseer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the kalima to be our last phrase as we leave this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place the hisab in our right hands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an easy hisab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who enter Jannah bi ghayri hisabin wala adab. And inshallah, I will see you next Wednesday, continuation of this class. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنا في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال